Present. Mr. Marks?
Here.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
All right, let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Feldman, would you lead us?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with
liberty. Oh, it's this down. Yeah. And a picture of Chloe.
Okay. Raise your hand if you'd like to make a public comment. Okay, P. Hubin, go ahead.
Hi, hello. My name is Patrick Hubin. I'm the president of the Humboldt County Builders Exchange. I'm here on behalf of the board of directors and our members. We represent nearly 300 local construction companies employing over 3,000 hardworking people in our community. It has been brought to our attention that the district will be signing a project labor agreement for the offshore wind project. We understand that the PLA is necessary for the anticipated amount of federal funding needed for the project. The Builders Exchange requests to be involved in the drafting of the PLA. We feel this is vital to ensure the voices and concerns of all of our members are considered. It is extremely important to us that our local construction workforce has an opportunity to be a part of this project. That's all I have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Chelsea Rios, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Chelsea Rios and I'm with McCullough Construction. I wanted to speak a little bit to what Pat just mentioned from the standpoint of a local minority owned contractor. McCullough Construction is a non-union heavy civil construction company based out of Arcata that has been in business for over 35 years. All of our employees are members of our local or surrounding communities. They are the families you see at the grocery store, at our children's functions, and supporting our local economy. We pride ourselves on employing capable and talented individuals who truly love their craft and the merit shop philosophy. Most standard PLA agreements prevent non-union companies from participating not because of their skill and qualifications, but based upon their union status. My hope with speaking tonight is the district will consider merit shop and non-union contractors when writing PLA agreements for upcoming projects. I believe that knowledge is power, and I, along with other local non-union contractors, would like to share our knowledge with you in hopes that the Board of Commissioners can provide an equitable and inclusive PLA agreement for future projects so that it doesn't exclude local non-union contractors that make up the majority of our local construction companies whose businesses and employees contribute to our local economy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have anyone else?
This is Randy Sundberg. Can I say something?
I don't see your hand up. On the phone. Okay.
I called in on the line there, the one touch line.
Could you please restate your name? And Lori, could you
go ahead? This is Randy Sundberg.
Go ahead, Randy.
Hi, good afternoon. My name, as I said, is Randy Sundberg. I'm president of GR Sundberg Incorporated, and we're here in Arcata. We're a local Native American-owned general engineering contractor that employs 40 to 60 full-time and part-time employees. And I want to encourage the board to incorporate language into the PLAs that we see as necessary, having to do with construction and maintenance of the up and coming wind energy project to use local contractors, whether or not they are union or open shop. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. And sorry, Lori, for the confusion there. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Lori DeVoist, and I represent Pearson Company, a local general contractor. For many years, we've been supporters of the community by providing good paying jobs and building local projects such as schools and medical clinics. We've also been very active in local youth sports and charitable organizations through participation and donations. We are supportive of the wind project proposed by the Humboldt Bay Harbor District. However, we think it's critical that the Humboldt Builders Exchange has a seat at the table when negotiating any labor agreements required for the construction of these future facilities. Humboldt Builders Exchange represents us and most of the other contractors and subcontractors in this community, and they will help us make sure these local builders will have opportunities to participate in this project, ensuring local jobs and enhancing our economy by keeping more of the construction funds local. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You see anyone else, Mindy?
No.
All right. That'll conclude public comment. And we will move the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion. We set the consent calendar.
Second.
You have a motion and a second. I'd like to do the roll call.
Yes, Commissioner Bowman?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
And Vice President Newman?
Yes.
Hey, could I just say something on the project labor agreement?
Sure.
Just quickly, is that so I've been in communication with the Humboldt Builders Exchange. I've also heard from O&M Industries, Hooven, Sunberg, Danco, and Vegas Construction. I've been in contact with them. I met with the unions today. Ryan and I met with the unions on the project labor agreement. And I discussed with them today is there was a couple of clauses that we wanted to reach out to the non-union companies and also to some of the Native American tribes, et cetera, to see how we might be able to get participation from those groups. And so then with the unions had said that there's we felt like we could give the, some initial comments to the union, but there was a couple of clauses that we felt like we needed to get some additional comments before we from the community and non-union and other entities before we could give our response back to the unions at that time. And so we're definitely open to meeting and communicating on those issues.
Very good. And maybe it'd be appropriate to have an update on the next agenda as to those negotiations.
Okay.
All right. Communications, reports, and correspondence received. Executive Director's report.
It's busy. It's really a busy time. I was participated in the Headwaters Fund where they were talking about the offshore wind and the how we're going to get the training and workforce already for the new terminal project. And it's good to see that we have a lot of local contractors and union and non-union contractors. And there's a variety of people that want to try to get work on this job. And so we're starting to do a lot of the background work as a county, collectively working together to try to get as much work as we can. And so I wanted to let you know that we had those meetings. And one of the things that we had discussed is that, you know, we prepared a master plan basically from the pulp mill, the former pulp mill to the Samoa Bridge. And really, and that was funded with the Headwaters Fund. And we've been saying this for a while to the county is that really it would be good if the county could start to do a master plan, you know, from the pulp mill, you know, south on the Samoa Peninsula and really start to look at some of these coastal dependent industrial properties and that some Headwaters funds would really help with this overall economic development piece. We also met with the Chamber Business and Industry Committee, which we're participants on. And there's also a number of different discussions with the business community and others that are really starting to prepare for not just the port infrastructure, but how can businesses start to participate in the supply chain and other aspects of it, in addition to the workforce, the supplying materials, supplying pieces of equipment and other things. And so there's a lot of work that is going to take place in the community to get a wide variety of benefits. And there's a bunch of groups in addition to the Harbor District that are working together on those topics. I also wanted to say is that, you know, this year we had three cruise ships that came in. And so the most recent one was the Scenic Eclipse. And so we were able to go up. And so they asked me to present this to the board. And so I'd like to give this to the vice president, if I may approach.
Of course.
So Aaron, here's the gift from the captain of the Scenic Eclipse to the Harbor District. And, you know, with that, I wanted to say is that it takes a lot of work to bring in a cruise ship. But I can tell you the faces on the longshoremen and the tugboat operators and the bar pilots and the maritime community in general that actually got work when they come into play. And there was an issue with the shuttle, and I personally shuttled 10 trips back and forth from the cruise ship to Old Town. And so I was able to talk to over 25 of the passengers personally as I was shuttling them back and forth from the area. And I must say that they were really impressed with the Port of Humboldt, and they thought that Old Town Eureka looked absolutely amazing. When they turned the corner and actually went in and saw some of the old buildings, it was pretty good to hear people talk about Eureka, because we see it every day in Humboldt County. But when you see it as like you're just pulling into town in the first sight and the first impressions, it was good to hear. And so with this group, the Harbor District with the City of Eureka, the County of Humboldt, really the wide variety of people that kind of worked on this, the county and the city and the Harbor District were really a good team on putting this together with the cruise ships. And I know if Chet Alvin was here, he'd be saying, yes, we should continue to do some work on the cruise ship industry. And so I wanted to kind of give a report on that. And overall, you know, staff is working fast and furious. It's a busy, busy time. It's also really enjoyable to work on the waterfront. And so again, I really encourage everybody to come down to Humboldt Bay, and Sarah Bareilles is going to be here on Humboldt Bay. And I think there's going to be 15,000 people on the shoreline of Humboldt Bay, and it's a beautiful place. So come on down to have recreational activities on the bay and buy fresh fish from our fishermen.
Thank That's you my for report. That inspirational report. Thank you very much for getting, thank you for the gift from the captain. Staff report.
Okay, Chris here from the facilities department. I want to thank the board tonight. You approved a contract for our new maintenance manager, Robert Provel. He's a promotion from within, and someone who's been with the district quite a number of years, filled roles for us in Shelter Cove, as well as Fields Landing Boatyard. And he's been here between Willie Island and the Marine Terminal over the past 2 years. So congratulations to Robert. We're excited to have him hit the ground running on Monday. The staff's been busy preparing for the concert Larry mentioned. We received a mutual aid request from the U.S. Coast Guard and from the Police Department. So we'll start deploying security measures early Saturday morning. We're going to have a viewing area specific for boaters, and then go ahead and keep the waterways open. I think that's pretty much the extent of it. We've just been busy, and did I say that? No, we're going to deploy Saturday. Yeah, we're deploying Saturday. I'm not claiming the concert Saturday. It's Sunday. And I believe that's the end of the report. Oh, forgive me. We also have Sunday here in iLot, a Austin Healey car club. So that'll be a big event. So we are preparing for a lot of people on the island this weekend. We will have a nearly a full crew on Sunday. And we'll get a little, although in the distance, we'll get a little concert. So That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Rob.
During the last board meeting, the Nordic hearing went before the EIR, or the Nordic EIR went before the Board of Supervisors. So that appeal was denied and the EIR was finalized. So that, I think, is big news. And the permits are going well. We're members of the Special District Association of California, and they asked us to be a host for their legislative tour last week. So we hosted that. And the California Energy Commission had a big public meeting last week about offshore wind, and BOEM is continuing to say that their lease auction is going to be the end of this year. So every chance they get, they keep saying the same thing, which is great. So they're not stalling that. And then the board asked for an update on intertidal and the intertidal pre-permitting, the EIR or the MND will be coming to you in a future board meeting, probably in November.
All right, thank you very much.
And our guest is here.
Oh, he is. Okay, so we're going to stick to the... Thank you. All right, Commissioner Committee Reports.
Not that much to report. Been participating in some subcommittee meetings. And I will be leaving early today to go participate on a panel discussion for the Which Way the Wind Festival happening over at Synopsys tonight. And so if you're not here, you can go there. That's all I have.
Thanks. Richard? Commissioner Marks?
I don't have much to report. I'm in the transition phase of moving to Sacramento County. And so I'm keeping dual residency right now. And so I'll be here for a few more meetings. And then my replacement, Greg Benson, will be coming on in December.
You'll be missed.
No, I was the middle of this place.
where do you want your surprise party?
Commissioner Higgins.
Well, it's an interesting time, and I'm participating in the Humboldt Bay Economic Development Committee. What do we call that? At any rate, the wind deal and with Nordic on the peninsula, it really looks like we have substantial upside, and so I'm pleased with those prospects. My Eel River Recovery Project deal, I found coho salmon juveniles all over in places that I didn't expect. And it seems like last year they got the perfect water to ride. Steelhead didn't get water to spawn. And so the coho had no competition. And so all of a sudden, coho went from like seldom seen to all over the place. And the water year was just enough. It was like lots of rain a year ago in October, then enough through December, then it shut down for a couple of months, and then enough in April. And just as the creek was starting to dry up after the 100-degree temperatures, it got cold at night, and the streams and the headwaters of the Eel switched back on because the trees are switching off. So take what you can get. And it's a pretty neat thing to see coho in places that I didn't expect them. And I hope that it inspires people to do more to conserve water, to improve forest health, so there's more water yield from our watersheds, to really kind of get in harmony with nature and be better stewards, because now's the time.
Thank you for that. As for my own report, I would like to also speak to the excitement about the cruise ships. I was involved personally running the line boat for TNZ Marine Services. And it was just great to see the excitement and hear about all the happy stories people visiting the area and whatnot. Also been involved a lot with subcommittee work, and a lot of big stuff happening. It's very exciting and a little scary, but things seem to be rolling. So we'll keep up the good work. Correspondence received?
We had public records request that we completed. There was actually two of them from the same party. It was dealing with the Nordic Aqua Farms, and they wanted to see the reimbursement and all the invoicing that was associated with the long fin smelt sampling. And then there was another one that wanted to see all the documents associated with the permits, that the existing permits and the permitting for the intake system. And so we submitted those this week. And so that was the correspondence that we had.
And that wraps that up. We got that. All right. So I guess we move to number 10, unfinished business.
Yeah, staff would recommend that the board adopt amendment number 4 to ordinance number 5. And so I'm happy to go into any detail on that. But once you adopt this, then it'll go into effect 30 days after adoption. And this would basically increase the fees from that, or the not the fees. We don't charge you guys this, the salary that you receive from $400 to $500. I'm sorry, from $400 to $600 per month. For all of the ordinance.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. We need to go to the public before we do. Any comments? Like no one? So bring it back to the board.
I think that there's been plenty of years where we've only been paying $300, and it's time to raise that a little bit. I know I'm leaving, so I'm not going to be part of this, but I know that all your work is more than worth it for the pay, so I'm more than happy to support this $600 a month for all of the issues.
Hasn't gone up in 15 years.
Well, it appears we're ready to do a roll call vote.
Commissioner Coleman?
Yeah.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
And Vice President Newman?
Yes. All right, on to new business. Humboldt Bay Natural Shoreline Infrastructure Project report only, it looks like.
Yes. So several months ago, the Humboldt grand jury submitted a letter to the county, the two cities, and the harbor district, among other things, asking the four entities to work together to plan for sea level rise. Those activities have been well underway for years, but we took that as a inspiration to continue that partnership. The county is engaged in a project which I think is the most meaningful sea level rise preparation project that's been enacted in Humboldt Bay. And so we asked Deputy Director of Public Works, Hank Seaman, to be here. And I think he's brought some colleagues from a consulting firm to assist him. So we're going to share screen, I think, with him. And he's got a presentation for us.
Thanks, Rob, and good evening, commissioners. How's my audio?
Really good. Very good.
Best yet.
And can you see my slides?
Yes.
Yep, looks good.
Great. Well, thanks for the invitation to share the results of our study looking at the feasibility of a potential innovative approach to adapt to sea level rise. And I want to acknowledge Jeremy Svela and Brett Vivian with GHD. They did a terrific job as the technical leads for this project. And this is an example of what's called natural shoreline infrastructure. It's also called living shorelines or even nature-based adaptation strategies. But the basic concept is trying to use natural habitat, natural landforms, natural processes to help provide flood risk reduction benefits. So I'd like to start by just talking about the bigger context for this project. In 2005, Humboldt County had a major coastal flooding event. And this is a photo taken from southbound 101 near Indianola between Brainerd and Breakett. And, you know, extreme high tides concurrent with storm surge and strong winds led to water being pushed over the railroad, flooding the southbound lane of 101, causing traffic to be closed for a few hours. And then these are some pictures of the aftermath. That event contributed to the ongoing erosion of the rail bed and caused significant damage and represents flood hazards to Highway 101 and the landward properties. And there's a 1 mile segment between Brainerd and Breakett that really is probably the most vulnerable segment of shoreline, at least between Eureka and Arcata, due to a combination of having the lowest elevations of the rail bed, plus the poor condition of the rail bed, plus the absence of salt marsh, which can provide a buffering role. And then just for more context, there's a linkage with the next item on your agenda to reapprove the development permit for the Humboldt Bay Trail South project. And this map shows the Bay Trail South project is 4.25 miles and extends from just north of Breakett into Eureka, across Eureka Slough, connecting with the waterfront trail at Target. And it crosses this Brainerd to Breakett segment. We've been working on that project for several years and realized the importance of understanding flood hazards and sea level rise. And so probably 4 years ago, that led to getting grant funds. And then over 2 years, we worked with consultants and partners to develop a sea level rise adaptation plan for the larger Eureka Slough hydrographic area. And we really tried to advance our understanding of flood risk and then also start transitioning to think more about projects, adaptation projects. So going from kind of assessment to project planning. You can see that it's about a 1.25 mile segment between Brainerd and Breakett. And then I should also just mention that Caltrans is also developing what they're calling their comprehensive adaptation and implementation plan for sea level rise along the Eureka Arcata corridor. That's required by the Coastal Commission, and that's due in 2025. So there's a lot of kind of planning to think about this area. And this just shows an example of a typical section for the Bay Trail South project near Brainerd and Breakett. And, you know, the Bay Trail was fundamentally for active transportation and coastal access, but we discovered the need to make these urgent improvements to address the flood hazards. And so our project design includes repairing the shoreline armoring between Brainerd and Breakett, and also raising the elevation of the railroad to a minimum elevation, and then raising the, creating the trail elevation to a minimum height. And that was based on technical studies that were done as part of that adaptation plan. And in fact, I can illustrate that. You know, this shows the inundation that would happen beyond the highway for a water level of 10.6 feet. And you can see, you know, water depths of 1.5 to 2.5 feet. That's under current conditions. And then with the tools that we developed, we were able to simulate the flood reduction benefit from the Bay Trail project by raising the railroad to a minimum elevation and repairing the armoring. So the Bay Trail South project will buy some time to be better prepared for sea level rise. But one thing our project doesn't do is we don't address the continued exposure to wind waves and kind of the energy and the erosive power from wind waves. Wind waves can also be a mechanism for overtopping of the shoreline and bringing water inland. And so, you know, looking around the shoreline in Arcata Bay, there's a lot of variety, and there's several places where salt marsh is abundant, and extends out, you know, 50 to several hundred feet out into the bay. And then there's areas where it's absent. And the condition of the railroad and the shoreline is really, it correlates very well with the presence or absence of salt marsh. And so this is an aerial footage looking south, just north of Brainerd. And you can see there's some remnant salt marsh, but really very little. And then here's a zoom in of where there's those remnant salt marsh. And it really drives home this concept that the salt marsh provides this benefit by attenuating wave energy and reducing the erosive power of the wind waves. So this is kind of the visual proof of concept and led us to applying for funds to do a more formal feasibility study to test the concept of trying to restore salt marsh along this segment of shoreline to help with flood risk reduction, but also to expand that rare habitat type. And so we got funding and we did a study that just got completed in June. The final report is actually dated September 2nd. So it took us a little while after the end of the grant period. And we had really good assistance from GHD, Northern Hydrology, Connor Shea with Fish and Wildlife Service, and then an active technical working group. So this is that study area between Brainerd and Breakett. And one of the things we did is we really wanted to understand just conditions, you know, pre-development conditions to the extent that we could to understand what the conditions were originally. And this shows imagery from 1870, which does indicate that prior to the railroad and the highway, that salt marsh did extend further out in this area. This also tells us that the shoreline has been significantly altered with levees and the railroad. And not only that, but the slough channels have been rerouted. So we need to take that into account when we think about sediment and just the, and also the longshore currents that could be affected by, you know, the development that happened in Breakett and Brainerd. This also shows that, you know, pre-development that the salt marsh extended really, you know, kind of deep into the fringe of the bay until it intersected with the uplands. And so just the result of development has caused a real, you know, significant, probably a 90% loss of salt marsh around the bay. So that's an important consideration when we think about the benefits of trying to restore or reestablish salt marsh. So, you know, we spent a lot of time thinking about specific objectives and, you know, really these are, I would say, co-equal goals, you know, maybe even first and foremost to try to restore and enhance the salt marsh habitat, and then also to reduce erosion for that transportation corridor. And one of our challenges is that the salt marsh are a very dynamic landform. So they really depend on sediment deposition to help keep the elevation high enough for the vegetation to be established. Salt marsh has this really sweet spot where you need a relatively low energy conditions plus sufficient sediment to help the ground surface keep pace with changing sea levels. And there's also the effect of subsidence where the sediments compact over time. So our basic question was, you know, what would it take to create favorable conditions today to allow salt marsh to be established and persist? So we have a nice long report. It's on our website. A lot of good work that was done into this, looked at alternatives, did a lot of just trying to understand the hydraulics and the sediment dynamics in this study area. I'm going to zoom forward and just show you some visual renderings of the project, the concept that was concluded to be likely the most favorable design. It's not to say it's the only design, but it's something that we wanted to pursue further. So these pictures show kind of a before and after of existing conditions and then what a proposed project could look like. And there's basically three zones. You have kind of a transition zone from the upland down into a new salt marsh. You have this long area of salt marsh with tidal channels. And then the leading edge has a berm with a beach of coarse sediment. And that's often called a shingle beach. So, you know, just thinking about construction in basic steps, you know, the first step would be to build that outer barrier first, and that would help with containment and equipment access. And then the concept that we developed in the report was to do active restoration, which would involve bringing in or importing fine material that would be placed to at the right elevation to create the salt marsh. And then kind of a strategy for vegetation and vegetation maintenance. So that's the basic concept. And I've got two drawings to show the typical section in two parts. So this shows the railroad on the left and the Bay Trail. The railroad would be at an elevation of 11 and a half feet. There'd be this transition zone, maybe 40 feet down to the salt marsh. Then the salt marsh would extend out for a little over 100 feet, and it would be subject to a network of tidal channels. And then at the outer edge, there would be this berm and then a sloped beach surface with coarse material. So overall, it would extend out about 175 feet from the shoreline. And the concept is that you would build the salt marsh to the target elevation, which is about 7 feet, and then stabilize the leading edge to protect it from high velocity currents and wind waves. And then creating that low energy conditions behind the berm would help vegetation to get established and to stabilize. And then the study concluded that there would be sufficient sources of sediment to allow accretion to keep pace with sea level rise for at least most of the century. At some point in the future, you know, if sea level rise continues to accelerate, there'd be some point in the future where the salt marsh could get flooded out. But our study concluded that it would likely have benefits for several decades. So this just shows one more visual rendering before and after, kind of looking northbound or northward from Brainerd. And you can see the depiction of the Bay Trail, and there's a bridge that crosses over to the north side of Brainerd. And if this full project would be built in this footprint, it would create approximately 17 acres of salt marsh. And there are examples of these types of projects happening up and down the coast. A lot of creative work's being done in San Francisco. And so there's examples to follow and guidance to take advantage of. So this was a feasibility study. Really wanted to try to identify a likely feasible design. We had good input from the regulating agencies. The Water Board indicated that they thought this could be permitted as a restoration project. And the Coastal Commission is also trying to actively support nature-based adaptation strategies. So there's a lot of positive feedback for the project concept. There's still work that needs to be done. And this would require importing a significant volume of material, and the construction cost is really sensitive in terms of the unit cost for how that material is sourced and handled and conditioned. So really the next step would be to do some further technical analysis, kind of honing in on material management, and also doing, you know, more engineering to fine-tune the design. And one option would be, rather than launching into trying to plan for design and construction of the full project, there would be the option of doing a pilot project, doing a portion. GHD's preliminary design had identified 9 different cells. And so it would be natural to have a pilot project with one of those cells. And there is an opportunity here to consider beneficial reuse of dredge spoils. And so the county would be very interested in working with Harbor District staff to explore that potential and think through just the constructability and cost issues that would apply and how we could try to make it economically feasible. And I think that would be a good investment, whether it plays out for this project or, one of the possible outcomes is that the determination is made that it's more cost effective to try to do salt marsh creation and beneficial reuse closer to the source. But I think either way, it would be a good investment to try to explore a potential nexus with beneficial reuse of dredge spoils and this type of salt marsh creation project. That's an overview of the project, and I'd be happy to field any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Seaman. Go ahead, Pat.
Very informative very hopeful. And it's actually, I think it was like 2011 when I first saw this seed the edge of the bay to restore the salt marsh. And it's a process where every few years you kind of have to go back and kind of put more sediment on there. But now I'm going to crack wise, Hank, and say, can you help us get a permit to use a suction dredge so that we can suck up material and relocate it around the edges of the bay to improve the ecosystem function of the bay? And we've been stymied on that. And if we're stuck with dredging with the clamshell, you can't get it to the edge of the bay. So it's got to be slurried. And we have to get past a regulatory impasse that seems to work against us and ultimately against improving Humboldt Bay ecosystem function. So this is kind of like long-term frustration, but I really like the fact that the county's taking a lead. I like your hypotheses and your game plan, and I hope that we can help you bring it to fruition.
Perfect.
Mr. Marks?
Yeah, of course, we do have more dredging that needs to be done on Woodley Island. So on the last dredging cycle that we did have some soil that was reused. And so hopefully we can find a way. I share Commissioner Higgins, worried about the regulatory agencies not being really helpful to the process. And hopefully that changes. And because beneficial reuse of that dredge material would be so, I really think would help benefit this program
I'd agree that anything that we can do to reuse dredge tailings from various projects around the bay would be very beneficial. I'm also interested in the possibilities of maybe some eelgrass mitigation along with the project, and presume the possibility of that.
Our project area doesn't include any eelgrass habitat.
Yeah, it's not too high.
And I think the elevations are too high.
Well, just for anybody that's listening, the dredge stuff from Woodley Island Marina and Eureka side, it's clean stuff. So it's not a problem for redistributing like the spoiled materials. This is the new time. These are not dredge spoils. This is reusable sediment, and it'll help ecosystem function of the bay. And it's great that it's tied in with the recreational amenities, which are also part of the district's charge, Hag.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate all the efforts of Humboldt County and your department in advancing the Bay Trail. It's going to be a local treasure.
Certainly. Is there anyone from the public who wants to comment? Don't see any hands. Well, thanks. Thanks again for that, Mr. Seaman. That was an excellent report and very hopeful about the trail.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I guess we can move on. Consider adopting resolution 2022-12, establishing findings relative to approving Harbor District Permit 2022-04, conditions for the Humboldt Bay Trail South.
So moved.
I made the mistake of cutting off Rob Coleman last time before his report. I'm going to give him a chance to do this.
Okay. Do you want a report?
We can do that after we get a second. Go ahead, Rob.
I withdraw my vote. I'll give you a summary, and then you can decide if you want a more detailed report. There was a full staff report submitted to you in the agenda packet. Yeah. So this is for a multi-use trail, and you know it serves both transportation and recreation purposes. So as a recreation district, this definitely falls within our purposes to support these kinds of projects. The CEQA for this is complete. The Harbor District was a responsible agency, and the Harbor District concurred with the CEQA determinations, which the county was the lead agency through a resolution of 2020-104. And all the details provided in the staff report. So I have more information if you want it, but staff recommends adopting the resolution and approving the permit.
All right.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Anyone from the public would like to make a comment? Not seeing any hands. Oh, we have a hand. Go ahead, Hank.
Yeah, I just I want to thank Richard for being a long time, well, both Richard and Pat for being long time supporters of the Bay Trail. And Richard, I really hope you can come back and recreate on the trail after you move to Sacramento. And just today, the California Transportation Commission allocated our award of $13 million for the Bay Trail.
Great news.
That's a big milestone. And then with the Harbor District permit tonight, that will be the last regulatory permit. So we're currently finalizing the design plans, working with Caltrans on some elements that, you know, that have an intersection with the state highway. We're really aiming to try to put the project to bid in January. And this is a big project. This is probably an order of magnitude bigger than a typical public works project, but we've gotten a lot of support and the starting line is in sight. So if we could start construction late spring, try to do as much construction as we can next season before October. And then we may need to, you know, continue through the winter. Hopefully we can do all the grading and earthwork during the dry season. But we're getting much closer and getting that allocation today. And then with your permit tonight, today's a big day for the Bay Trail. Thank you.
Oh, Hank, go.
Thank you. Great work. Bringing it back to the board. Any more comments?
All good news.
Pretty important to me as well. I was on the 1718 grand jury and was involved. So, can we get a roll call?
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
And Vice President Newman.
Yes. All right, moving on to C, consider adopting resolution 2022-13, establishing findings relative to and approving Harbor District Permit 2022-05 with conditions for the City of Eureka Samoa boat launch improvements. All yours.
All right, so this is the existing boat launch under the Samoa Bridge and Waterfront Drive. The project is the addition of a new floating dock and piles to expand that. No eelgrass will be directly impacted by the footprint of the project, and measures in place to avoid direct and indirect impacts to eelgrass. CEQA has been complete, and this resolution would have the Harbor District concur with the CEQA findings. And staff recommends adopting the resolution, approving the permit.
We have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All and right. It's just good to have our infrastructure for recreation well maintained. So kudos to the city of Eureka stepping up and catalyzing this investment. And it kind of ties into the whole area there. So it's a real amenity.
We're good stuff. Commissioner Arks, anything? No? All right. Anyone from the public? Any hands? Okay. Second Director Rocker, do we have a roll call?
Yes. Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
And Vice President Newman.
Yes. Moving on to item D, notification for the removal and relocation of military vessel 1091 temporarily stored on district property APN 401031040.
Court? Yeah, so the district has been preparing for some upcoming developments along the Samoa Peninsula. And we've worked with the 1091 organization and their appointed leadership to consider the relocation of the vessel. The vessel was originally brought to district property when it was directed to be removed from Humboldt Bay. It was given a permit waiver so it could be stored temporarily. That time has expired, but through cooperative efforts, everybody's worked diligently to try to find a new life or a new location for the vessel 1091. So what's out here now is that we have prepared a memo in draft form that would put notice out to the membership of the 1091 to, number one, understand that it must be relocated, that we're out of compliance with the original agreement, and that the district may consider it going to other district-owned land, provided the appropriate discretionary permits could be obtained. And then, of course, the relocation could occur along with whatever other credentials would be necessary for it to operate there on a more permanent basis. There's a timeline in here that is quite specific, and it's understood that while we're doing this in a cooperative effort, that if one of the milestones are missed, then that would accelerate notice for the vessel to be removed or, if unfortunate, demolished. We are considering other options with the 1091. If something like that had to be considered, that we would try our best to help them find placement for portions of the vessel if that was the outcome. So that's where we're at this point in time. So we're asking for the memo to be reviewed and for direction to be given that we can go ahead and proceed forward. The memo was shared in the packet. And so the participants or the designees rather from the 1091 organization have reviewed that and been notified. So thank you.
I'd like to move to adopt this action.
One second. We have a motion and a second. Do we have any commenters? Public, any hands? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Any further comments?
Oh, I've been impressed by the dedication of the people that are so committed to the vessel. So I hope that we're able to achieve an outcome that they desire. And so I'm glad that we're kind of setting boundaries, though, because we have obligations as a district in terms of meeting agreements for and permits for its placement. So I think it's a logical action, and I'm glad that we're fully engaged with the 1091 advocates, so that we help work with them and empower them if they so choose. Thank you.
That's it. I totally agree with those comments, and glad to see this moving in the right direction. A roll call on that, Rick Rucker?
Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
And Vice President Newman?
Yes. All right, item E, consider appointing bar pilot apprentice interviewed by the Pilot Advisory Subcommittee. Andrew Manning.
Yes, the state of California has delegated to the Humboldt Bay Harbor District the responsibility of overseeing bar pilots in Humboldt Bay. Ordinance 16 of the district outlines our regulations, which includes the oversight of a training program for candidates and apprentices of pilots. We have a subcommittee, Pilot Advisory Subcommittee, which met last week or the week before and interviewed a candidate, Andrew Manning, and the committee is recommending that the board approve him for an apprenticeship position.
All right. Do I have a motion?
I'll second, and I'd like to hear from Commissioner Newman, since you know quite a bit about it.
Well, you'll hear from me after we go to the public. I see Andrew is actually here. If he'd like to say anything, we'd love to hear from him. Otherwise, anyone that would like to make public comment on this, please raise your hand.
I just wanted to say thank you, everybody. I've been paying attention the whole time, so patiently waiting for this moment. But thank you for the time in the spotlight, and thank you for the opportunity to hopefully become a bar pilot here in this port and contribute back to the community here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thanks for hanging around with us tonight. Anyone else? Not seeing anyone else. Bring it back to the board.
Well, I just, you know, it's great to cultivate somebody to fill this position that's both vital to our enterprise and also a pretty good way to make a living. And so I think this is a step in the right direction. I appreciate the Harbor District's efforts in this regard, and to the folks who serve on the committee, and to Andrew himself. And I look forward to us kind of building the staffing necessary for pilotage as we grow the port's business back out.
Marks. Andrew, we really appreciate that you're being considered to want to do this. And so your resume is very impressive, and I'm hoping for the best for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And I heard nothing but good things about you, Andrew, and the commitment you're taking on is a big one, having to get several rides on boats as basically a volunteer in order to become a pilot. And more pilots is something that's going to be essential to this port going forward. We've got a lot of business coming our way if things come together like it appears to be. So,
oh, I guess for due diligence, is there a cost factor associated with this apprenticeship?
No, there is not. But what we want to do is that we, within the draft fee resolution, is to establish basically an apprentice a surcharge to place on ships. That's something that we're currently looking on that we want to bring back to the board, so that we can try to do some sort of a compensation to these trainees as they're going through the program.
Great, I favor that.
All right, so we can do a roll call vote on this.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yeah.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
And Vice President Newman?
Yes.
That's a bunch of good news. Can we keep going?
Yeah. Do we have any future agenda items?
No, but I'll make a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
We are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Excellent. Good job.